Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Information technology enables government agencies to deliver mission services. Challenging budget times underscore the need to drive innovation and efficiency in government, and IT can help. Advances in technologies such as cloud computing and agile development are transforming how IT services are delivered, consumed, and how they can help save money. The use of government-wide acquisition contracts can support federal agencies in meeting their mission and being more efficient. What are the key priorities for the National Institutes of Health's Information Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center, NITAC? And how does NITAC assist federal agencies to accomplish their mission? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Rob Cohen, Director of the National Institutes of Health's Information Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center, NITAC. Rob, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Tom Berkey. Tom, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Rob, would you tell us more about the history and mission of NIH's Information Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center, NITAC?
So the NITAC program started back in 1996 with the passage of the Clinger-Cohen Act. That's an OMB initiative, which they enacted in order to speed up the process for procurement of information technology. So the NIH, prior to that, had held several large IDIQ contracts for information technology, and then OMB approached them to take on a pilot role to try to set up some contracts that could be used by the entire federal government, with those built-in flexibilities and efficiencies so that agencies all across the government, including DOD, could place task and delivery orders against those IDIQ contracts in order to the main emphasis was to speed up the acquisition process. They were finding that by the time the procurement process went through for IT, the IT was obsolete. So this was an initiative back in 96, which really got a lot of attention and a lot of attraction. So we were one of the three pilot agencies that started this up. So we rolled out these large IDIQ contracts for $20 billion, awarding them to very capable, very competent contract holders who were able to meet those needs for all of the federal government, not just NIH.
And can I just clarify, what is an IDIQ?
So it's an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract, which means that a contract holder would get an award on that vehicle, and basically it is a mechanism for them to be able to sell all different kinds of IT for lots of different task orders. So basically it's similar to like a schedule, but IDIQs are set up in that they have a fixed set of contract holders who have gone through a rigorous source selection process to prove their capabilities and to be able to show that they're going to be able to evolve and change and meet those long-term needs over a 5 or 10 year period that the government has.
Operationally, how is NITAC organized, the mix and size of its products and services portfolio? What's your overall budget? More importantly, how do you fund your operations?
So basically, the funding of our operation is done through the fees we collect from our contract holders through the customer agencies. It's a very minimum fee of 0.5% through 1% of the order, the funded order, because we do not get any appropriated money to run these types of programs. All of the GWAC programs throughout the government operate like this. So those funds are basically captured just to pay for the salary expenses and overhead of that program. We do not get additional funding from NIH, nor do we take funds that we receive and give them to NIH. All we are required to do is to, get enough revenue to cover our costs. And at the end of the day, that's I believe that that's a good shared services model, and it really helps support the entire federal government without costing the taxpayer any additional money.
And so what is the mix of your portfolio? Could you tell us about the portfolio, the products and services you provide?
So we have three government-wide acquisition contracts. We have the CIO SP3, which is the Chief Information Officer Support and Solutions Contract for IT services, more customized solutions for the government. some large integrator contractors on that vehicle that provide some very sophisticated IT solutions to the government through task orders. We also awarded about 3 years ago the CIO SP3 small business vehicle, which is a vehicle that's 100% made up of small businesses from all of the different socioeconomic groups, including HubZone and 8A. Service-disabled veteran businesses, women-owned businesses. So that enables those government customers to come to that vehicle and place task orders in the set-asides that they're looking to meet those goals in. So if they're looking to attract service-disabled veteran businesses to meet a certain IT requirement, they're able to come to that vehicle, set it aside for service-disabled veteran businesses, and make an award through that pool of contract holders. This has been the first time that that's been done in the government. It's been very successful. We've seen, a lot of attention paid to that vehicle, and we'll talk a little bit more about the volume that we've seen on that since that's been established. And then just recently, we awarded the CIOCS vehicle, which is the Chief Information Officer Commodities and Solutions Vehicle. So all of these vehicles are basically part of our suite of vehicles that support the CIOs throughout the government. This last vehicle is really designed to support the commercial type items, solutions, services, with an emphasis on cloud and the managed services, those new evolving technologies that the government is looking for. And of course, they can still, get their general IT products through that vehicle, like laptop servers and switches and all of those different pieces of equipment. But also, there's a large emphasis on the software as a service and the other types of services that can be bought through a managed mechanism that can be done in a fixed price environment.
I'd like to focus more on your specific responsibilities as the director of NITAC. What are your duties and responsibilities?
So basically, I oversee the program office there at NIH and report to the NIH head of contracting, Diane Frazier. And part of our focus is to make sure that we're supporting the NIH, supporting the IT needs of the National Institutes of Health, as well as the Department of Health and Human Services. As you know, HHS is one of the largest buyers in the federal government. And so they have a lot of IT needs and a lot of IT needs that are specific to health IT. So we have an emphasis there in which I focus on making sure that we're meeting those needs. But the second part of my job is really to make sure that we have setting up a customer-focused organization that is there to support the entire federal government. My mission and the vision that I've instilled within our program is basically focused on customer service. We are there to, as a service to the federal government, we are there to be a trusted partner with all of our customers, to develop long-term relationships with them, to support them through the procurement process for all of their IT needs. Many of the other types of organizations that are similar to ours are maybe a little bit more transaction-based, where they're just there to put out a vehicle and, provide a mechanism so that they can, customers can come and just place orders and repetitively place orders. I don't look at our organization as an organization that is a transaction-based organization that's looking for high volume of transactions coming through our contracts. We're looking for customers that need support, customers that we can help deliver innovative solutions to meet their IT needs throughout the government. And so at the end of the day, I look at myself as the director to set those values, those mechanisms in place within our office, the efficiencies and the support to lead a group of people who are delivering a great deal of value throughout the federal government.
So Rob, regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are your top, say, three challenges that you face in your current role, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
So the biggest challenge, I've been in this role for about 6 years now, in various roles within the program. Started off as the deputy program director about 6 years ago, and recently, about 2 years ago, became the director of the program. And throughout my tenure there, the focus has always been on trying to reach out to this very large, vast federal government that we have. and to educate those IT CEOs as well as the acquisition professionals in the government about the GWACs. And it's not just about the GWACs that we manage that there at NIH, but the whole GWAC program. Work closely with the NASA SUPE program and the GSA program to try to, just get the word out. I mean, the government is very, very large, and the acquisition community is huge and is inundated with an enormous workload. So we're trying to change some buying habits. We're trying to educate them. We're trying to show them that the value in using government-wide acquisition contracts, the efficiencies, you know, the infrastructures that have been put in place over the past 20 years throughout these programs can really help the buying community, can really help the CEOs, you know, meet those challenges that they have and meet them in an efficient way with a lot of cost savings built in, because we aggressively worked with our contract holders to provide aggressive pricing on these types of solutions that we're promulgating throughout the government.
Just to underscore the fact that your fee for service really does make you a corporation or a business, a small business in a sense. I mean, you don't get appropriations. You really do need to meet your bottom line.
Absolutely. I have a budget meeting on a weekly basis to make sure that, you know, we're online. I mean, you know, that there is no option for us to lose money.
Yeah.
Because we cannot lean on any of the appropriated dollars of NIH to run the program. So we need to run a lean operation, and it's very much based on a continuous process improvement process, change management, to make sure that we are continuing to change to meet the needs of the customers and to develop those strong partnerships with industry.
And all of that rests on a leadership model. And I want to transition to that because, given your experiences, the role you're in now, your previous experiences, what are the characteristics of an effective leader in your mind?
So I really think that, you know, leaders inspire by action. I think that they instill the values of the program that they're running. You know, they have to have a vision. They have to be able to attract good talent, to be able to meet that vision. I'm always looking for people that are innovative and creative, always looking for people that are embrace change. I think that's very important to any organization. And I think that sometimes people think I'm crazy because in the federal government, you know, they're not always like pushing for people that are always trying to change things. You know, I'm trying to change things for the better.
What are the key priorities for the National Institutes of Health's Information Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center? We will ask its director, Rob Cohen, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.